My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Before making it all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. And all those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the Splendor, the Spectacle, the Sparkling Sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 451 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Jimmy, and I'm here with three of my favorite friends to bring you this week's episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast. I think we got a fun show lined up, and tonight I've got Ed with me. Hey, what's up, Ed?
Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Doing good.
Morgan?
How's it going, guys? I just want to say, for the record, it's now official. You've called us your favorites.
On this show. You three are my favorites on this show.
This particular episode, 451. Correct. No Correct. Other one.
Correct. And Melissa?
Hey, happy Disney Plus Day.
Happy Disney Day. That is correct. Why are we recording a podcast instead of watching some Disney Plus?
Or Love and War.
Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder. Yeah,
that would be my pick. Not yet.
I've seen it. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater twice.
I didn't see it, but my Funko box from Amazon was Thor, Love and Thunder, and it was a pretty cool box this month.
Nice. I can tell you, I was probably a quarter to a third away in the movie in the theater, and I was almost ready to walk out. And then it redeemed itself, and then it really redeemed. Then it got good.
You were going to walk out. You were going to walk out when Russell Crowe showed up, didn't you? Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I knew it. I knew exactly. Okay, guys. Well, we're going to move on a little bit. And tonight's show, what we're going to do, since D23 is just around the corner, literally tomorrow, we're going to talk about some of the things the parks need to start working on as we move on. So there's so many great stuff that's coming to us. Ratatouille opened up at Epcot, Guardians of the Galaxy. A couple years ago, we had Fantasyland over the Magic Kingdom. Hollywood's over at Animal Kingdom, we had the Pandora Land. Well, it's getting to the point now where Epcot's almost finished with Moana Land, and they're going to be done with their big changes. So what's next? Where are we going next? We know Magic Kingdom has a couple of things ready to go. But for the rest of the parks, we're going to go park by park, see what maybe might be a good idea, where there's probably a land that could be revisited, perhaps, or an attraction that could be remade. And, you know, maybe Disney might pick up on it. Maybe we might get lucky and get one of those advanced ideas of what's going to happen on D23 this weekend.
Exactly. This Sunday is going to be the big Disney Parks experiences and panels panel. So it'd be interesting if anything we talk about we're going to come to fruition on Sunday. So,
right. And that's going to be a live streamed event. So we'll all be able to watch it online. So very, very much looking forward to that one.
Ed always seems to have a direct line to the Disney Parks people. Whenever he says something, it seems like it a lot of times it comes true. So
yeah, let's see. Let's give him a try this time around.
All right. So where do we start?
Let's start at the front of Epcot. You know what would be great? Like this pavilion where you went and played games.
Well, you know, Epcot had a bunch of announcements a couple of years ago. And unfortunately, whether it was because of COVID or money issues or things like that, it was COVID. They did not come through with a bunch of the ideas. One of them Jimmy's referring to is the play pavilion over at Epcot. So, yeah, let's start at Epcot. Now, the other one was the Mary Poppins Land in the UK.
Fairy Tree Lane, which I personally am a little upset. Like, I understand why some of the stuff that was announced at the last D23 didn't come to fruition. COVID, they lost money. Totally understand that.
Sure.
But I am a little sad Cherry Tree Lane's not coming.
Well, and to be clear, they never really expounded on what Cherry Tree Lane was going to be.
Right. I never knew if it was going to be a walkthrough or a ride.
Could have just rethemed the area back behind the pavilions and called it Cherry Tree Lane. We don't think it was a ride because they never said ride. And if it was going to be a ride, you think they would have said that. So we had no idea what it was even going to be, but I'm still bitter about it.
But to me, even if I could just step foot on Cherry Tree Lane, because like that movie has a special place in my heart because of my grandmother. So like just to step foot on Cherry Tree Lane, like I might have had like an emotional moment, like when we all walked on the Galaxy's Edge for the first time. We all Star Wars fans had a moment.
Sure.
No doubt.
I will say, I'll make a prediction and say we will hear some type of an announcement for the west side of Future World. And I forgot what they call it now, but it would have been, you know, where the ice cream shop and all that was on the opposite side. We know on the east side, Club Cool was, remember Epcot's upside down. So when you're walking through it,
so I've got a map pulled up.
Yeah. When you're walking from, like from the main entrance, the east side's on your left, where it's
so odd. The hard sciences are on the east side. That's going to be your test track, your Mission Mars, Galaxy's Edge. Those are the hard sciences. The soft sciences are on the west side. That's the
imagination,
biology, aquaponics, stuff like that.
I'm just talking about more like where Interventions and the Fountain Ice Cream Parlor and all that was. On the west side. On the east side, we know they redid Mouse Gear, and now we've got
Creations
and the Connections Cafe where the Electric Umbrella was, and they put the new Starbucks in there. Very nice, very clean. And I mean, when I say clean, I don't mean physically clean. I mean, clean is just the design is very clean and simplistic, very modern looking, which I really like because, I mean, the Electric Umbrella was fairly dated. It was kind of funky in there and dark. And they put back those big, huge windows so you can sit in there and watch the crowds walk by. So that part's fantastic. But I feel like everything on the other side that had any mention, there, none of it is happening anymore. So what's going to be over there?
Could it possibly be there won't be anything over there and it's all going to be the Moana land?
I think there's just going to be a transition between where the crowds can come in and have some open space. And I think they were supposed to put just trees in there to make it more of a park-like experience. And then you would go into Moana to then get back into where the Nemo and the...
There's still a building there.
Not anymore. That's all tore down.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. When you watch that video, you'll see as you're going through, there are a couple buildings they're putting up in the area. But I was pretty sure a lot of that space was kind of open or was very open.
Well, that's a big waste of space, in my opinion.
I'm pretty sure there was supposed to be like, there'll be some kiosks for the food because you always have some of those kiosks that are there during Food and Wine. It's like the fire, land, sea. It's the more sustainable food and a lot of the vegetarian options and vegan options are there. So I think some of those buildings might be some food service areas or bathrooms or something, but I'm envisioning that kind of side is more of the open park space, which would flow into that soft science area. It makes sense.
So all the lands are now world something. So I got a map up just to kind of explain everything. So we still have World Showcase. We still have the lands. That still stays the same. But if you can imagine basically like the monorail loop, when you're taking the monorail and it loops around, that middle section is now called World Celebration. And then if you're looking at walking in the main entrance of Epcot, the right side, which has, the right side that has like the seas and all that, that's World Nature. And the other side is World Discovery. And the Moana thing is only been described as an attraction. It's the Journey of Water featuring Moana. So I don't think that's going to take up a whole like big chunk of space.
I always assumed it was going to be a walkthrough where there'd be like random things you can kind of try and do. Kind of almost like imagine the line of Seven Dwarves where they have that part where they have the water thing you can play with and make the music, and you can do that fun stuff. Like a lot of that, like just
like water. You mean like the trail they had that went back to the Pocahontas attraction, Animal Kingdom, that they got rid of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, I actually, what I did is I pulled up the D23 announcement from 2019 from that expo. And all they say about the Journey of Water inspired by Moana is that it's meet and play with magical living water. So I'm thinking like the jumping fountains like they had over by Figment.
Sure. Might be just there. Like a lot of it. I remember a lot of colored water. So the streams were cut different colors, and I'm sure sound will be tied into it. And
The thing I was, I'm sad to see we don't have yet, and it doesn't mean that we aren't going to get it, but in that pre-COVID D23, in that celebration land, is that what it's called, Morgan? Where we were supposed to have a two-tiered structure overlooking the lake.
Yeah.
For three. And there was supposed to be where the live music could play. You could have a great seat to watch the fireworks. You could also go and, you know, sit and relax in kind of a grassy rooftop and maybe have a drink or some of the food from one of the festivals. But this integrated nature with structure that was supposed to kind of blend between that Moana, that park area, and then going into the countries. World you trip. Still don't have that. Yeah.
So it was supposed to be a three-level structure. And if I'm not mistaken, it's called Dreamer's Point. That's what we were supposed to. We'll feature a lush garden, a wishing tree, and an interactive new fountain, and a statue that pays homage to Walt.
They just moved it. So that actually sounded like a name that wouldn't have survived. Because if it's a three-layer structure and it's that big, it doesn't sound like a point. It sounds like a point is one place you're all going to go to. This sounds like everybody's going to be roaming all over it. Not saying it's still a great idea. And any of these shelved ideas can always come back again. I want to keep saying that. You never know. So
it is my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, the plans are still to build like a stage at the entrance to World Showcase where they'll be doing concerts and stuff, correct?
Yeah, like they did talk about, like I said, I've got the announcement from D23 Expo 2019. Is they were going to have like a home base for the festivals. So that might be the stage now that they're going to do.
A home base for the festival. Now, a home base for a festival sounds more like it's going to be an indoor place, like the Play Pavilion or the Life Pavilion was at one point, where you can kind of go inside, shop, do some like, you know, mixologies and the old type of like learning type of things.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would love to get back to that.
If we're getting a stage, I'm more thinking like first thing that comes to my mind is when they used to have, it was one of those like, it was like the cooking daytime talk show.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. They had their stage set up probably like 3 years ago right there.
Yeah.
That's not a big area though. That's the other side of the coin. It's not a big area as you would have on the other side, the American Pavilion with that stage, where you have all the seats, then behind it you have a lot of area. Over on the other side, it's a very, very cramped intersection. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to work out or if that's what's going to happen, but, you know, we'll see.
Now, I do have to say, though, I'm not mad that three-story structure is not coming, because if you're on the other side of World Showcase watching the fireworks and you had that three-story structure, you're not going to be able to see Spaceship Earth. And
sure you could.
But you know what you wouldn't see anymore? You wouldn't see Guardians in the middle of the sky either anymore, which is what you'd see on the other side. I think Spaceship Earth, it might have been off-centered, or they could have framed it somehow. But yeah, I think you're probably right. It probably would have been hidden.
And even three stories, the way it was designed, didn't look like it's going to – it looked like it might be as tall as the base of – Spaceship Earth. I mean, Spaceship Earth is much, much taller than three stories.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like that, like unobstructed view that you're used to. Kind of like how everybody complained when all the stuff for Harmonious got put.
I was about to say, they've already obstructed the view. They put cranes right in the middle of the lagoon.
But I can still see Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, no, I know you can.
But like,
and night, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the other structure, I feel like it would have been worse.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps.
So I'm going to transition to what do I wish this weekend on Sunday they announce. Jimmy mentioned that the Play Pavilion, we haven't seen or heard from. And if that comes, that would be great. It would be a wonderful activity to be able to get out of the sun or the heat or the rain and just go and play and interact with some new technology that's out there. And I always wish that they'll keep it rotating as quickly as possible. But, you know, that doesn't always happen. I would like to see some version of the Void over there so that they can put, I don't care what it is, whether it be, you know, it doesn't make sense necessarily to be Star Wars, but maybe it's another Marvel piece. Maybe it's some sort of Guardian. Going to space.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's some, I don't know, other hard science that's over there, but like being able to put that headset on and like go through virtual reality. It was so cool to do that Disney Springs. And that was a perfect space over there. It's not a huge footprint, but to be able to have that would be fantastic.
Sure. Cause it's virtual. You don't need a real huge footprint. Rumor is, and I'm almost positive I read this, that the reason you haven't heard about the Play Pavilion is there's issues with that building, the Wonders of Life building. There's more issues. Like there was issues going on that they couldn't transition it like they thought they could.
Oh, that's a shame too, because that's a nice building. Yep. But if that is the case, let's get rid of it and get something new.
Yeah, scrap it and move on.
So now, can this be considered the Marvel campus in Florida, perhaps? If we kind of mold that area of Epcot into a couple more Marvel franchises in there, perhaps?
The problem is you're so limited on what you can put because of the theme park rights with Universal.
Getting better and better. I mean, every year they're coming out with more movies that have nothing to do with the older characters. They're just potentially that could be their new location because they got Disneyland Paris, they got Disneyland California, Marvel Campus in Florida now.
I mean, Miss Marvel to be in there or any of Moon Knight. Those are all characters that I think would be up for grabs. And I would not cry if Mission Mars went away and that went to something different.
Well, now Mission Mars could be an entire Marvel like training 100%. Center. Where you can go in there and you're going to be tested and you're going to be put through the strain. And perfect.
Yeah. Okay. I think you have those three buildings. You've got lots of space for a mini Marvel campus.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So now another area at Epcot I pointed out, and we all know it, is the Imagination Pavilion. Because as soon as you leave the land, you're walking over to the Imagination Pavilion. There's a lot of real estate over there. The pavilion itself has got the movie theater on one side, the old Michael Jackson theater, the Captain EO theater. And then the Imagination Pavilion itself has got the attraction inside of it. Plus, after the attraction, you have that big area to play around with some of those really cool games they've had for the last 25 years.
And lately they're not working very well.
Right, because the computer has the error message on the screen, which is like, I can fix that. I know I can fix that. So there is a lot of space and they have two floors up there because they have that's the DVC meet area, I think, upstairs of the Imagination Pavilion. So you can go see that if you're a DVC member. So there's a lot of room and I think they could do a lot with that. Right now, again, it's a movie theater, which I do go to and I like the shorts when they change them up. And we always go and see Figment, regardless of how the ride is at this point. But I definitely think that could be another area.
Yeah, I mean, I do definitely think that they need to do something with that movie theater area, the Captain EO theater, as I call it.
And that's still a great theater.
Yeah.
It's a shame because it's all motion activated and they've got different like effects going.
Yeah, like make it something 4D, maybe not as interactive as Muppet Vision or It's a Bug's Life or something like that, but do something there. Like, it would be cool to have like... Inside Out, like, you know, let's do something with the emotions and stuff like that. That would be really cool because you're again putting more IP into the parks.
That would fit really well with that theme over there.
Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing. You think of the control center and how they're looking out at all the different lands and such like that. That would be nice.
Because I mean, what was it? Memory Core? What was the one like attraction where you're actually like in the person's head?
Oh, back over at the Wonders of Life Pavilion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would have been a perfect Inside Out ride once the movie came out. Yeah. Like, if that was still around, that would have been a perfect transition ride. So put something Inside Out in that, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's
right. Update when you walk out of Figment. Do not take away Figment. He might need some revamping, but do not take away my Figment.
There's no reason you couldn't have another Figment attraction. You just got to put some time into it. The attractions are tough. I guess they change the footprint, so to speak, sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've done a lot more than that. I mean, look at Batu and everything they've done over Hollywood Studios on that side of the park. So.
Okay. So, Ed, tell them the inside out idea when you talk to Disney next.
It's on the list. So now, anything else at Epcot that we can point out as far as maybe they want to take a look at? Africa, of course, all the time. We always talk about the pavilion over there. It's never going to be huge. And I didn't see a lot of space around that they could take advantage of.
You know what I think would be kind of cool? Like, this literally just hit my brain. The performers that we have in Africa and Animal Kingdom have like a miniaturized version of that show, because obviously, like, there's not as much space for a stage like they have in Animal Kingdom, mm-hmm. but have them do a little performance, because you have performances in China mm-hmm. and Italy, like, you have them in other countries. You've already got the cast members who basically do that routine. Just shorten it, have some of them go over there.
That's a great idea.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We'll have to keep our eyes open for that one too, because they won't announce it. They'll just start doing it.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, guys, let's switch parks. Let's head over to Hollywood Studios and maybe talk a little bit about that. Now, Hollywood Studios itself, it's a pretty crowded park. So, and they've just put Batu in there. They've just put Toy Story Land in there. So they did put two big franchises in the last 10 years into that park. What else can we do? Is there anything else that we kind of can earmark? They are bringing Fantasmic back, and it's going to be updated. So we're going to keep that theater and keep that how it is.
Yeah, which I'm happy about. I would love to see it there when we go in November for our meetup.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would make me so happy.
Are we at a point where we just need to ditch the old Hollywood theme?
Well, I don't think so.
I think we need to still stay with that somewhat.
I mean, however, it doesn't really fit anything else. You know, there's nothing really that it fits there anymore. You know,
and doing the research for this, I think they might have given up on it, because they did put Lightning McQueen down Sunset Boulevard. So that does not kind of fit down there.
With that being said, it's completely partitioned off. I mean, you got to go looking for it. It's not, you know, it's in its own little separate area.
Yeah, that's what sucks, is like, that is a cute little show. And especially if you are a Cars fan. Mm-hmm. That is a show that you need to go to, but it's so hidden.
If you're like us and go there often and don't grab a park map, I mean, you might not know it was there.
You would not know that.
Where is this attraction? You have to look.
Right.
I feel like the old Hollywood theme carries with Tower of Terror, with the drive-in restaurant and the Christmas decorations. Oh, and Brown Derby, I guess. That's really like about it in terms of
the Chinese theater.
I was thinking the boat on the lake there, the restaurant.
I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like that type of theme. I like the music walking down Sunset.
But that could be Hollywood Studios. That could be the Hollywood gist right there as you come into it. Yeah. Then you're going off of Hollywood and you're going, and actually they make that the transitions. One of the best things we did with the scavenger hunt there a couple years ago was finding out the tunnel that goes by the Muppets into the Star Wars land, into Batu. Well, that's a tunnel that actually you leave Hollywood from in California.
Oh, yeah.
And you end up going out of town, which perfect. You know, that made a lot of sense.
Yeah. There's something about the little plaque that's above it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's on the actual tunnel that exists in real life.
Right. I tell you what, for Hollywood Studios, the biggest part of the studios that I think is the wasted space right now is Animation Courtyard. So basically, and when I say Animation Courtyard, let's expand it a little bit, because the Little Mermaid, Voyage of Little Mermaid is there. The old Star Wars attraction and the movie
bay.
Right, which is nothing anymore. It's all still there, and it's open, and sometimes it's not open. I did hear rumors they were bringing back the character meet and greets, but I don't know if that ever happened. The only thing going on in the Animation Courtyard area is One Man's Dream on the one side, and then the kids stuff they have on the other side there. And I apologize, I'm not even up on what they had over there, but it was very active. There were a lot of people waiting online, a lot of people into it. So
it was Play Disney at one time, but it's not But it's similar.
It's another show.
Yeah, it's a stage show with all those characters,
right?
Geared for younger kids.
So for that area, and we're not going to spend time tonight figuring out what to go in that area, but I think One Man's Dream could easily be moved, and then everything else would be a wide open change. You could take the entire area, wipe it out, and put something brand new in, or you can kind of modify what's there. But regardless, it's a big, big area that you could do something with.
I 100% agree. The launch bay feels so disjointed where it is. And it's really sad right now. If you walk in, nobody's there. Right. It just feels odd. And then on top of that, you feel confused. Why is Star Wars here? I thought it was over there, but nothing is here. And what's going on? So something needs to happen with that corner. The other thing that I would like to see is some of the food options are really lacking in Hollywood Studios. I feel like they have some good quick service between the brewery pub that has the charcuterie boards or the food that's in Batuu. But really for sit down, I don't know. It's a lot of like burgers and pizza. And I go to Disney, I don't eat burgers and pizza because I don't need to in any of the other parks. So to go to Hollywood Studios and like my only option that I would go back to is the 50s primetime. I think something needs to change with the food.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Another big sit down restaurant.
I'm not crazy about Primetime Cafe. And you got the sci-fi dining theater, which is going to be burgers and stuff like that. I actually had really good burger there. I will say that I've heard really good things about the Brown Derby. I've never been.
It was fine. And it wasn't anything. It's a nice restaurant,
but it is a price. It's a definite step up price
wise. It's more expensive. Yeah, it's.
I don't think quality wise. I mean, I shouldn't say quality. I mean, I don't think it's that step up. It's a beautiful restaurant inside. You're definitely getting that taste of Hollywood for sure. But that's another restaurant I could go in there and be happy just by getting like a Cobb salad and then the grapefruit cake. And then that would be it.
That's basically where you go if you don't want the burgers and fries and you want to do a sit down, but you're paying the price for it.
Well, when we go to Hollywood Studios and do a sit down, it's going to be in Mama Melrose, which is one of our favorites on property.
Which is another kind of hidden right now area.
It's very hidden. Yeah.
Which is another area they got to look at as far as making changes.
Unless you're exiting Muppets, you don't really go back there unless you're looking to go back there.
Yeah, definitely. And there's that one building the Muppets store used to be in that I don't think there's anything else in that like center store there. And it's a big chunk of change, too, as far as area wise.
Yeah, they haven't reopened it.
Do something.
And that was a good store. Like, I liked going into that store because there was different stuff in there.
Plus, there's jokes all over the walls.
Yeah.
Muppet fun.
Yeah, it was very well themed.
Now, I would like to see, not necessarily get rid of Muppets, because I do feel like Muppets, I do feel like Muppets needs a presence, but Muppet Vision needs some updating.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
They just updated it.
I don't know. That's a really, I'm totally fine with things being updated and changed, but the problem with changing Muppets is that's the last thing that Jim Henson worked on, and so making that change is sort of like changing Carousel of Progress.
Right.
Where like you could up it and modernize the technology, but the story and the content feels like it has to be.
Yeah. No, I did not know that.
They digitized it.
I take it back.
Right. That's what I was saying.
But I'm good with more Muppets. Other things with Muppets, like I loved the Muppet in History or whatever they did at Magic Kingdom, like that kind of stuff.
Right. How about a Muppet meet and greet? We've never had that. You could put that into the building where the store was too.
Yeah.
Miss Piggy, Kermit, Fozzie, just to name a couple. That would be great.
I would pay a couple bucks to get my picture taken with Sam Eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like
the scientist, Hudson Bunnydew and Beaker.
Yeah.
Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be hilarious to have like Waldorf and Statler like on the second floor in that little alley, just every once in a while, like pop out interactive, like ragging on like the people that are walking by.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. I mean, the front windows of the exhibit, plus because there's a lot of people coming from that area because they're leaving Muppets. But people are going to Rizzo's, people going down to Mama. Yeah. Melrose. So now I never really figured that out. You got two Italian restaurants right next to each other.
Yeah.
I never paid attention to that. Wow.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's stop.
No.
It's you got a California
Italian restaurant.
Italian restaurant, and you got a pizza joint. I mean, a quick service pizza joint.
They're very much the same. Okay. Moving on. Anything else Hollywood Studios stand out to you guys?
Now, I brought this up on the live show earlier this week, but for Animation Courtyard, my thought was get rid of Launch Bay because it is confusing, like Melissa was saying, to have like two different Star Wars sections. But maybe
You get Star Tours, you get Launch Bay. The Launch Bay, Star Tours, and Galaxy's Edge. So it's
true.
You don't really know where to go. Yeah. See Star Wars.
But like I said, I would get rid of Launch Bay, but I would actually do that as like a meet and greet area, kind of like how Epcot used to have where you could go meet Mickey and Minnie and all them. And maybe do like a Disney Plus meet and greet or a section for Disney Plus because you got Disney Junior right beside it. So it's like, hey, here's our TV stuff here.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
We need more Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately for the kids that are 16 years and under, they don't know who Roger Rabbit is.
Their parents have failed.
Even 21 and under probably doesn't know a lot about Roger Rabbit.
I think there's one reference left. Is the billboard in Hollywood Studios? The maroon studios?
I think the window's still there where he's broken through.
Oh, maybe. There's the one billboard, the Maroon Studios billboard.
Which actually, speaking of Roger Rabbit, working on an article. They're actually at the New York Comic Con releasing a really cool Roger Rabbit Funko Pop. He's got like Jessica Rabbit's kisses on him, so he's all like love.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's jump over to Animal Kingdom. So now Animal Kingdom
dump the whole thing.
What's that?
Let's just dump the whole thing. Start fresh.
No.
Demolish it. Start over. No, I'm kidding.
The latest thing Animal Kingdom gave us was Pandora, which was a pretty good addition.
Incredible.
Yeah, definitely. So as far as it goes, I guess the big elephant in the room, since we're in Animal Kingdom, has got to be the dinosaur land.
So that would be the big dinosaur in the room.
I suppose you're right. The big brontosaurus.
An olifant.
Or concretosaurus, I should say, because isn't that what they call that guy over there in Animal Kingdom? So as we know, one of the rides was taken out of the carnival probably about a year ago or maybe even more now, and they just have a fence there. I don't think they're replacing that at all. So the first idea would be, okay, we need to have a retheming of perhaps that area of Animal Kingdom because it is a big area. I don't think you're ever going to lose dinosaur, however. I don't think you could modify it that much. So you'd have to have the idea somehow incorporate dinosaur.
I like dinosaur, but they should have replaced. Now I'll tell you, it's no Indiana Jones.
Well, no, not at all. And now you're in an Indiana Jones attraction. You know what that kind of ride could be.
Yeah, but I do like dinosaur. But they should have replaced the Dino Land stuff. They should have replaced it the day after they put it in.
Well, it's a carnival that you have to pay to play.
Well, the carnival needs to pick up stakes and move on.
It is. No, he's saying in real life, though. I mean, you got to pay to play all these extra little games and stuff. It has a cheap carnival feel.
That's 100%. They did it. Boom.
Yeah.
That's what they were supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and they did it.
Carnival needs to go bye-bye.
So well, that's pretty good. You have all the walking up area on the side of the carnival where the store is, going up to Dinosaur, the restaurant area, the circle, the playground where they have the, for the kids to go in there.
The boneyard.
Yeah. I mean, Dinosaur Land has a big footprint. I don't know whether to change it all together or to do something else.
I mean, I think that, and this was actually brought up a lot on the live show, like, everybody was kind of like Dinosaur Land needs to go. It needs to do something else. Somebody actually brought up, let's make it, a Zootopia land. My thought was like Pocahontas or Wall-E or something like that.
So now Zootopia, because I remember it being a movie of different animals in different like areas. So now I do remember some like animals being higher up and some animals being lower up. And actually, I guess as you come into Dinosaur Land with that, big brontosaurus in the playground, you do have a lot of different levels of things going on in there, mm-hmm. where you perhaps could have a city zootopia where you're coming into it, and then you would spread out into the different habitats. You'll go over to the desert side, the frozen side, the water side, the jungle side, and do whatever you're going to do in each part.
Yeah, so I mean, Zootopia would actually be like a good, you know, thing, because again, you're putting more Disney IP into the parks.
Get JPEG on the phone.
And they have the new cartoon coming out. There's a short coming or a shorts coming for Zootopia.
Yeah.
Zootopia Plus.
Did that come out today? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't checked anything out, unfortunately, today. I haven't had time to. So we'll see.
But also, they're doing a Zootopia Land overseas in like Shanghai or Hong Kong. So there's already ideas going.
Precedent.
You know, just, you know, let's also switch them up, change them, and let's put something in Animal Kingdom too.
The other one area within Animal Kingdom that's always been a topic of maybe we should move this or it needs revamp is Rafiki's Watch, taking the train out. And I'm thinking some of the other IP that have some of the mythical animals, because we saw that finally, Jordy wanted the real animals and then the mythical things, like the Yeti or things like Pandora. So, you know, within Coco, what are the animals that are brightly colored?
Oh, the dog.
The spirit animals. The
spirit animals.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot what they call them. But
yeah.
You know, I think it's a delicate balance with that area that you can't make it too attractive, because then you have a logistic problem with too many people trying to get back there and out, like too many people moving back and forth because you got to move by train.
Right. But can you bring it closer or change it? Or I'm sorry, guys, what's the one that came out that's like set in Asia and it's with the dragons?
Raya
and the Last Dragon. So you've got all your dragon things, and that, I mean, that would be an awesome ride, riding on the back of a dragon or something.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I mean, I definitely agree. Rafiki's Planet Watch probably needs something done to it. Like, I understand what they were trying to do with the message, but if you think about it, it's basically a petting zoo, and
I'm sorry, just to break in real quick. It's a petting zoo, and it's a drawing area, because this is the only place on property you can go and be led by an artist like they used to do in Hollywood Studios and draw Disney characters. Anytime anybody goes to Rafiki Planet Watch now, that's all I hear about is that they got over there to make their picture.
Yeah, but I think you can do that anywhere in any of the parks. Sure, that's not specific to Animal Kingdom.
You just need a room for that. Really. Yeah,
right.
For a while, they were doing that in the American Adventure Pavilion.
Yeah,
like literally in the theater. So, I mean, you can do that literally anywhere. I agree. I do think it's something cool, and it does give people, I think they did that to give people a reason to go back there. I do like the pavilion back there, like the inside that you can walk through.
Yeah.
And if you're
lucky, they're doing an animal,
that's
cool.
That's amazing. It really is. But it's not often that they're doing it. I mean, I've been back there probably in the past, since it's reopened, I've probably been back there two or three times, and I've never seen them while they're actually have an animal in there.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, one thing they could do, because you've got the Disney Plus series, The Magic of Animal Kingdom, and they show the doctors, you know, working on the animals and stuff like that, enhance back there where people can actually see more of what these cast members, vets, and animal trainers are doing back there to take care of the animals, because you already did a show and you've already brought interest to these people that are coming to the park. I think they should be doing that. And
no, that's a great idea. They have the video cameras, like you have TVs in there, or you could see the pens, which now I was there probably about maybe 6 months ago. I made the trip out to Rafiki's Planet Watch. And the thing I didn't like about it was most of it was closed down.
Yeah.
You couldn't go into the little dark rooms where you can listen to the jungle and the rainforest in your ears and hear that stuff. Most of the exhibits with the animals were gone. There was really not a lot there to do other than, again, the drawing and a couple of they had some tanks with lizards and things like that. But the whole medical side of it, I think what Morgan's saying, it makes a lot of sense. I love those Disney shows with the animals. And on the train itself, you do pass the rhino pen, I think, or you pass a couple pens on the way over.
A couple of them,
Which, unfortunately, Melissa, I think that's why they can't make it any closer, because they're passing all those animal areas to get to Rafiki's Planet Watch. So I'm not sure. And I'd have to look at a map again, because we could be going on a curve. It could be really close for all we know. But yeah, I definitely think they could put some nicer, more more new ideas out there to get some people. But the petting zoo is great. I mean, how can a petting zoo be bad? However, a petting zoo in the animal kingdom seems a little underwhelming. Yeah.
Well, like, so I went back there last November, and it was the rhino pen because, like, 2 weeks before our meetup last year, a new rhino was born. And, you know, we went right by that pen and we saw that baby. So, I mean, like, that's really cool to be able to do that. But yeah, I agree. The petting zoo, if you're going to do a petting zoo at Animal Kingdom, don't do the normal animals that people can do at their local zoo.
Well, like, you got to see what you can put in there then, because there's so many animals.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, have it where, you know,
a petting zoo with like lions and tigers.
Yeah.
Or even bears. Or like llamas. I mean, llamas spit. I mean, they spit.
You can't.
That's what I'm saying. You just have to find the right animal. But I agree with what you're saying. Maybe some type of sheep from Asia that are just weird looking, but they're just as docile and like easy to handle.
Yeah.
So,
and of course you have a cast member there that will, you know, talk to you about the animal and all that. So they can do more, but even in last November, it was closed off just like what you saw 6 months ago.
Right. Yeah.
I think the direction that they're moving are those tours to get that animal husbandry. So whether it's touching a rhinoceros or an elephant or seeing how they care for them, the behind the scenes of their the environment that they live, having those paid tours for the rhinoceros and the elephant, I think that's the direction that they go. And I think the quality is better. It sucks you have to pay for it, but I would pay for it over what I'm getting right now, which is empty rooms.
Yeah. Sure, and I think I guess that's my issue. And you guys know me well enough to know I'm not a basher of Disney in any way, but this thing that we're going to do less and then you could pay extra, and like these pay for play things are just becoming a little bothersome in my opinion at this point. It seems like to all these extra experiences, these special experiences now you have to pay for, and at one time that was just included in Disney, and that's what separated Disney from other places.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're going to keep doing that when people are going to keep paying. So what are you going to do? Okay, guys, one more park to do. And I think this one might have a lot of things to talk about. We're going to move over to the Magic Kingdom now. And we all know Tron's on its way. We all know that Splash Mountain is going to be modified someday soon. So what else can we do over at the Magic Kingdom? What areas do we need to look at? I mean, Fantasyland was a really good redo. I mean, crap, they took out so much and they reshaped that whole back area.
Seems like so long ago.
It does. Yeah. And it
really wasn't that long ago. It's just
5 years, maybe 6 years.
Yeah, we're so involved in it. I mean, you got to remember people that go like every 2 or 3 years, there's like so much crap for them to see. I mean, it's just bananas really when you think about it. So I guess that's one of the things is as we get kind of jaded because we do get to go so often. I mean, Melissa doesn't go as often hasn't recently gone as often as the three of us, which I mean, compared to the average guest, you still go a lot. So it's I mean, some of that's probably true, is that it seems like, come on, man, when are they going to finish drawing? But to the average guest, they're not missing anything.
And we bring that up all the time. The difference between Florida and California is that Florida, somebody's coming maybe once every 5 years, the majority of the people. They're not coming every week or every 2 weeks. California, you have a lot of locals that are coming every couple weeks or, you know, pretty much all the time. So it's a little different on what they do and what they want to change up.
And by the way, just to give you a reference, New Fantasyland was 2012.
10 years.
It's been 10 years. Okay.
Yeah. And they have kind of gone other parks. So I think we are going to circle around the Magic Kingdom. And again, like I said, we know that Tron's coming. We know that Splash is going to be modified. Where's another area? I'll start out with the Speedway, because that always comes up as far as, that's an area that does make no sense because it's in Tomorrowland and it's a big footprint. However, considering it wasn't taking out for the Tron coming in there, I'm sure it's there to stay. But they got to modernize it or at least look at that.
I think I agree with you that if like Tron would have been the perfect excuse to get rid of it.
Yeah.
If that's what they were looking to do. Right.
But, and they weren't.
So apparently not.
Probably because it's classic, it's history. That's why they didn't get rid of it.
Right.
They just need to modernize it. Make them electric. There's no reason that these things can't be electric cars. It would be quieter. It wouldn't be so smelly. Right. And they would just run a lot smoother. And yeah. I would be totally happy.
Yeah, definitely. Now, in California, I thought theirs had a lot more cool stuff on the track to see or look at, as opposed to the one in Florida also. So, I mean, just make it a little bit more interesting. And with Tron, it shouldn't be tough. Maybe they can kind of let the theme kind of overflow to there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, you can't do a Tron cycle because that's what's on the coaster that's coming, but, you know.
Right. Well, they had Tron vehicles, too.
Make them Tron vehicles. But I think those will go a little slower than the ones in the movie.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, how many kids these ages and their no connection to Roger Rabbit, but none of the kids these days have any connection to Tron.
The movie came out like 6-7 years ago.
That movie nobody saw that movie. The original Tron
that's
is
the connection they would have, and that's what they're looking at out there.
I know, but I'm just saying that's not like a cult, like that movie was okay. I enjoyed it because I'm a Tron fan.
Yeah.
But that's not a cult classic like Tron, the original Tron was.
Right.
To Jimmy's point, of all the IPs to pick and put in this like a very expensive ride, Tron is an interesting choice.
Well, and they did it in Shanghai first.
And that's why they did it, 'cause it was such a great ride that they pushed the issue of Tron being a cool thing to bring into the park for that ride. So I'll take it.
Probably evolved from the ride system at the Flight of Passage being on that type of bike. And then, okay, now
no, how that's would it, the Hagrid.
And now you move
the Hagrid
around.
Ride.
Okay.
Yeah, I buy that.
But even Flight of Passage is the same thing. I mean, it's kind of the way that you're on that bike and it locks you in where you're kind of locked into the vehicle.
Right. So that's the only similarity.
But what Disney IP do we have that has a bike?
You could be riding a dragon. You could be riding a banshee. You could be any of that thing. I think the movie did well in a different market. It was a really cool ride. Why not plug and play it into a park that fits Tomorrowland? We need to do something in Tomorrowland. Oh, it was just convenient.
Sure. Yeah. It'll be like night times.
Oh, it looks amazing. Look, I think it's gonna be amazing. But I mean, that's that plug and play type of stuff is what they do best. I mean, they did that with Soarin'. They did that with Tower of Terror. They did that with
Space Mountain. Everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the story's a little stretch as far as continuing in Walt Disney World, but I think we're gonna, you know, bite the apple and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not complaining.
I love, look, I'm a Tron fan. Years ago we had Jerry Reese on our show. We interviewed him and he worked on Tron.
Mm-hmm.
The original Tron was a groundbreaking film.
And they didn't realize it at the time, unfortunately.
Well,
when it came out.
Yeah, and it was incredible. I mean, it was such a just the CGI in that was just incredible for its time. So, and I like the second movie. I'm just saying it wasn't that popular.
I agree.
It didn't do that well.
Yep.
Confession: I've never seen either of the Trons, and I'm excited for the ride.
Drop her out, Morgan.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. No. And you should take the time to watch those movies. They are really good. You'll like the first one just because of the simple computer way they talk, the different types of like things they talk about.
Great talent actors and the first one.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh yeah, definitely. Now moving on to some of these rides. Now on the Tuesday night show, the live show, and I want to throw a big thanks out to all you guys out there for giving us our topic for tonight's podcast. But one of the ones that was brought up a lot, and I don't think anything can be done with this, is Stitch. Is Great Escape over in Tomorrowland, where it's been empty for a number of years now, and it's basically being used as a stroller parking lot. The ride itself is a very specific ride inside there. I think that's the problem, where you've got the ride where you have the big entry room, then you have the circular main attraction room. They had the same way with Mission Mars or Mission to Space or Mission to the Moon, whatever was in there originally. So you're stuck with that. That might be part of the issue. The other issue is it's not really that big of a footprint of land when you look at it from above, because you do have that one store to the right side of it. You do have the cosmic rays, which is the whole other side of it. And then you have that like river, that little stream that separates it from the castle in Tomorrowland. So
this was supposed to be
Candy Crush. Like that's what this was. We got sold on, I thought, was we're closing Stitch. We're going to get Candy Crush. So you would get into your seat, which would be your little car, and it would move you around and you were racing the other racers from Wreck-It Ralph. Did I make this up?
I don't know.
Yes.
You made it.
I'm almost positive.
You should be a blog writer at this other famous Disney site. they make stuff up all the time.
So, okay. Well,
Ed, go and tell Chapek that this idea would work. You'd have little Princess Penelope. She'd come up in the middle and she'd tell you how to decorate. And it'd be like, you know, you get your car ready and then race and she blows on your neck. Or
how would you individually, how would it show you individually moving though?
You have your VR glasses.
Fair enough. Okay. There you go.
See, now I didn't come up with all of this. I feel like this was something.
I totally missed this one. And we talked about VR earlier. Let me just throw real quick in here about this. The reason why VR hasn't been brought to the parks yet, I believe, is that the sets are still too big. I've seen plenty of previews for the next 6 months of supposed new sets that are coming out for different companies like Apple and such that are more like sunglasses. So they do everything in just the little footprint of a sunglass like setup, which makes a lot more sense for a ride. You're going to put them on and take them off. Powering them is going to be a different story. You'd somehow have to get a plug in there somewhere or a wire. I don't think you'd have battery.
Well, if you're sitting and it's coming out through and it just hooks up to the back.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Right? And sorry guys, we're moving our hands and looking at each other do this, but hands over our head, throwing the headsets down and you figure you're getting onto a ride. Perhaps it'd be attached behind you and then you just put it on.
We're going back to Drew Carey Sound Dangerous.
And I tell you what, with VR, that would take that little space there perfectly because you don't have to go anywhere. You're sitting in a little space, and if you got VR on, then crap, you are taking – you're right. You're racing in your Candy Racer, and you're with Vanellope. And
my vote is to bring back Alien Encounter.
I thought Alien Encounter was great. That was the best part about it, though. It was
fantastic.
Terrifying.
Oh, my God.
I've never heard a ride in any Disney – well, I shouldn't say any Disney park, but a Disney park where you had people screaming in terror when the lights went out, and they were on that ride. Not just kids. I enjoyed screaming on that ride because you
can. It was freaking intense. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was a fun ride.
Again, Jerry Reese, our friend Jerry Reese, he directed that show.
Yeah, definitely very cool. Okay, so I'm going to bring up a somewhat controversial place. I think there's a lot of land and I think there's something that we can do over there. And it's been closed on and off and you kind of see it this and that. Tom Sawyer's Island. Okay, now Tom Sawyer's Island, I say that right away, and I'm like, no way you can ever get rid of Tom Sawyer's Island, but you get to it on a little raft, so you're not taking a lot of people over there back and forth over the course of a day. The island is very long, not really wide-ish, but is at least, let me rephrase that, at the dock area where the boats come off, it's kind of wide, you have tunnels, you have the restaurant, things like that, but then as you get toward the back side of it, it does thin out where the fort is, and then past the fort, there's still more trails and stuff like that. But I mean, considering I just said there's a fort there, there's restaurants, there's a huge amount of land on there. We got to do something to take more advantage of that. Put a bridge over there from Frontierland, perhaps, so you don't have to worry about the rafts anymore. Get somebody over there, have the restaurant at least open for more than like once in a while. But yeah, and again, we're not here tonight to tell them what to do, just that maybe they should take a look at this area.
It could definitely use some revamping. It's a matter of like, what IP could you put in there? I think would be probably what the Imagineers would try to think.
The characters from Splash Mountain. Let's move them over there.
And again, with the same thing I said about, and you mentioned it, but the same thing I said about Rafiki's Planet Watch. It's logistics. You can't make it too great because you can't get the people back and forth quick enough. You can't do a bridge because there's a big riverboat that goes around the whole
island. Oh, crap. A tunnel.
a tunnel. Now, you may be able to do a tunnel, but you can't. There may already be a tunnel. But you can't do a bridge.
Right. Yeah. I like the tunnel idea. Crap.
The other hard part is it's sort of between, it straddles two areas. So you have where you have colonial America and then you have Frontierland. And so Tom Sawyer's Island kind of fits that, where you're sign of like old US kind of frontiery, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you put there that could blend between the two? You know, I think it would be cool to have like an Encanto area where you could walk across the bridge and go and see her village and go and kind of explore the tunnels, like the Moana water feature. It's just walking through and kind of experiencing some things. It doesn't really fit between maybe Frontierland and Colonial America, but
if you consider,
I don't know how much Tiana fits Frontierland either, so.
Just because you brought that idea up, somebody on Tuesday night gave us that idea, and that was their idea to switch Swiss Family Robinson house to the Encanto house.
By the way, there's no
that just seems to be Tarzan. Tarzan. Just
I agree, Tarzan. That's not a bad one. But we haven't seen the second Tarzan movie. So
there are no mountains here, Melissa. So I don't know why they thought Splash Mountain would be a good place for Tiana.
there's a mountain in
there's Florida? Literally not any. Not, really? We don't even have hills. I mean, it's pretty damn flat.
You mean being dirt below piles, sleeve level means no mountains.
Yeah, yeah. No log flume rides around. You know, log fluming around here.
Maybe if the hurricane comes in and you're just riding the log into the swamp.
All those logs that just go down the river into Orleans, you know. Yeah, just
never.
But I do like this doing something with the treehouse. But I love the treehouse staying a treehouse. It's fun to walk through. But
I mean, you got to remember that originally that was the, as Walt would say, the weenie. That was the one thing. That's what drew you from the hub into Adventureland. Doesn't really do so anymore because the vegetation has grown up so much around it that you really can't see it too great from the hub. But yeah. I mean, it was still a kind of an original thing. So I hate to get rid of it, but I think a retheme, again, with continuity, like how many kids today know what Swiss Family
That's what I was going to say, even worse Robinson than what we were is. Talking about earlier. Yeah. Many adults are still not sure.
By the way, they should all go watch it because it's a fantastic movie. But
I have seen that movie.
Okay, good.
Very good.
I'm going to send you Tron. I think both of them, I think both of them are actually on Disney+.
On Disney+. Plus.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see a map of the treehouse, though, because I don't think there's a lot of land. I think the Jungle Cruise tucks into a lot of that.
It's all vertical.
And so that's why it's built up, so that you have the vertical space. So you might need to keep it a tree or something vertical.
I agree.
Right.
Which I'm okay with it staying a tree, but I do agree.
Put an elevator.
Well, yeah, no. That's one thing. It's not handicap accessible, but an elevator would not make sense for a tree.
It's not Jimmy accessible either.
I was like,
I'm not walking up all them damn steps.
It's a once every 5 years type of trip for us. We'll make the trip up top there. If it just can't be a crowded day. I refuse to wait in line to walk up all the stairs and then wait in line to walk all the down the stairs, with everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll check the line in November.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
But yeah, I mean, like, putting a different IP, Tarzan, Encanto, whatever,
Yeah, definitely a place to look at.
Let's revamp it, but keep it a treehouse.
I'm down.
Pretty cool.
Now, one thing that I wish that they would announce, but I know they won't.
Fifth Gate. Is,
huh?
Fifth Gate.
No.
You don't want a Fifth Gate?
I think this is not the time we're going to get a Fifth Gate announcement.
I think we're going to get a new hotel.
Yeah.
They already canceled the hotel.
No, I think they're still going to announce a new one before DVC.
They were supposed to build one at River Country. They got mixed.
Just saying.
But in Magic Kingdom, they got to do something about the fireworks show. I know it's a brand new one, but that bottleneck on Main Street is,
by the way, they
redonkulous.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They enhanced it and put projections on the buildings on Main Street to make it more of a bottleneck.
Yeah.
Instead of alleviating it and putting projections maybe behind the castle where you could draw people in from a different angle.
Yeah.
No, let's put it more stuff in front of the castle.
Yeah. But yeah, I wish they would have done the fireworks differently.
That's why I really haven't seen it. I've seen it, but I've never seen it from a good angle because it's almost impossible.
Yeah, neither have I. Like, I was actually telling my parents today, I was like, really the only good way to see the fireworks show is pay for the dessert party.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Now, and I kind of to back up what they're saying about how it's very crowded. When we went there in June, they have that back way to get out of the Magic Kingdom that you go behind the stores on Main Street that kind of takes you out behind the hat store and takes you out by Tony's restaurant there. And that's how you can kind of leave the park. So they had that open during the fireworks to get people out. But along that pathway there, they had many areas taped off so that people could watch the fireworks from there because they were good areas to watch the fireworks from. So we're talking, it was so crowded in the park itself that some of the better areas to watch those fireworks were back of the house, on the way out of the park, yep, in that whole back alley area. So yeah, you're right. If you get there early, even that never guarantees anything because there's always that family that's going to show up 5 minutes before or 2 minutes before and jump in front of you.
Yep. And as somebody who usually has their camera out and puts the tripod out, getting that kicked is no bueno.
It's just, it's crowded.
Yeah.
That's probably one regret from our last trip. I wish we would have stopped right there and just watched the fireworks from there rather than circling around and trying to find something up by the train station because it was just jam-packed all the way to the train station. I didn't have it in me. That by that time at night, I was just ready. I was like, it's just not worth it. I'm just going to go back to the room.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of a fifth gate, Disney Springs, maybe they'll do something with the formal NBA, which was also the game location. So maybe we'll do something with that.
I was going to say they need more entertainment over there. Definitely more entertainment. They've got the shopping down. They got the eating down. But give me something else to go over there for because I can't justify going to Springs just for that every time.
I enjoy the live entertainment.
Yeah, throughout the
and a lot of that's, but all that's coming back now. I mean, you know,
and the live entertainment's great. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the entertainment we're talking about. Like, yeah, bring back the Play Pavilion or what was the name of the place they used to have with all the games and stuff like that, that the NBA store took over.
Disney Quest.
Yes. Oh yeah. Disney Quest.
Right.
Yeah.
So give me something, give me another adventurous, like we're coming back to those type of things where entertainment, I mean, it's what Disney does.
Yeah.
You know, give me more themed restaurants even then. If you want to keep eating, that's fine, but make it a little bit more themed.
I agree, but I truly like Disney Springs for what it is. I can definitely spend, I wouldn't want to go there the whole day, and I usually don't go there during the day, but, you know, I could definitely hop from a park at 3:30, 4 o'clock, go to Springs and enjoy the rest of my evening at Springs with no issues.
But I think the things that they've been doing around building a lightsaber, building a droid, those sort of interactive activities, even if you pay as a single service, it's Disney Springs, so you have non-Disney guests coming. I think they could do something like build a B-Bot. I mean, Ron's Gone Wrong. That would be cool.
Oh, like,
they used to have
the Ride Makers, where you can build your own remote control car. That was in the old ESPN store, the sports store.
And once upon a toy, you used to be able to build your own lightsaber because I worked there and I helped people build lightsabers. So they used to have it, but obviously they were still like the kid versions where the lightsaber pulls up.
I think you can build those in the Star Wars store.
Yeah, but I mean
the plastic ones, just the cheap plastic ones. I think most of us are more talking about the whole experience about building like
Savvy's.
Like Savvy's, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where people are going to pay a premium, but it's a great, like, it's a ridiculous experience. Like, it's
worth it. Didn't they have that Star Wars, like, room game or whatever that was? You can go over there and do the virtual.
The Void.
That's what most of us talking about earlier. The Void. Yeah.
Yeah, that's gone.
Which, that was like groundbreaking as far as entertainment went.
Well, I mean, COVID happened, so they couldn't have people sharing virtual reality goggles.
But they're having these things, like, Ed, I sent you one that's coming to Chicago near me for Harry Potter, but just before that, they had the Friends experience. So it's these companies that come in, they just need a big blank room and they overlay it with immersive things from a particular IP. So why can't Disney either contract with them or get into that business and create, like, you know, 2023, 2024 is going to be pirates. I want to be able to walk through pirates and I want to smell pirates. I want to, like, see them.
Oh, like
do whatever,
like the Van Gogh thing that went around the country.
That was here, that Narnia attraction at Hollywood Studios that you would walk in, and it was just an immersive experience. Like nothing really happened, but it was just it brought you into the world.
I'm going to do the Harry Potter one in Chicago. I heard the Friends one was awesome. It was during COVID. I didn't make it down to Chicago. Stuff was going on. But like, it's probably about $45-$50 to go through, and, you know, you can try butterbeer and you can, you know, buy your wand. So there's a shopping component, but you can also like just sit in a classroom and be like, take my picture. It's all Instagram worthy. Disney could do that with any of their IP, and you could have like three levels, and it could be like Marvel, Star Wars, and Pixar. It just cuts rotating every couple of years.
Yeah.
Super easy. I think that would be perfect. And if you think about it, where the NBA experience was, that whole like section is entertainment. If you think about it, because you got Splitsville and Cirque du Soleil, and House of Blues does have performers every once in a while. So it's like, that's like the entertainment section of Disney Springs almost. So that something like that would fit perfectly.
I want to know the guy that came up with the NBA experience and said, this is going to be big. As soon as they announced that, I'm like, this is going to be terrible. This is not going to last.
If
you would have done a couple different franchises, like NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball in that building, and you had different floors for each sport, phenomenal.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Like,
that could have been the new ESPN club.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Almost like a 30 for 30 kind of thing. And then like a, you know, place to eat and a place to do stuff. Like, yeah, sure.
I will say, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, if you guys have not had the opportunity to go see Drawn to Life, I highly, highly recommend it when you make it down. It's the only Cirque. Now, let me preface this by saying it's the only Cirque du Soleil show I've ever seen. But it really connected with me because of the Disney tie-in and stuff like that. And it's just it's just a well-written story. And it's cool because all the Cirque, all the acrobatics and stuff like that, but the story is well done too. And it's like a very touching story, and it's very Disney-esque.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very worth it. We've taken kids to the La Nuba, the one that was before. And I took my son when he was about 3.5 to Drawn to Life, and every kid loves it. They just sit there and just slack-jawed.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. Okay, guys. So there's a lot of opportunities for Disney to start their ideas of working on new parts of the parks. They've given us so much in the last 10 years, but you know what? There's so much more to give us in the next 10.
And so, we will hear soon what we're going to get.
Right. And with D23 this weekend, we're going to be getting a lot of information. So hopefully everybody listens in. Definitely tune in next week because we'll be talking about that. And seeing what might be realistic and what might be just wishing. So we'll see what they say. Okay, guys. So what do you think? What do you expect D23 to give us? Or more likely, by the time you hear the show, what do you think about the announcements that they did say? Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Jimmy, how can everybody get in touch with the show? Yeah. Okay, guys, so that's it for show 451, our D23 predictions, and maybe a little hints of what Disney needs to look at next down at the Walt Disney World property.
Our hopes and dreams.
Oh, what we wish.
Yeah.
For Jimmy, Morgan, Melissa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
To join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Like that set, they have stuff like that, and I actually dropped one of the cups and broke it.
Whoops!
Bought it?
I didn't buy it. I was just looking at it. I was prepared to buy it though, and she said, "No, don't worry about it. It's a display, and that's, you know, it's okay."
So and next time Jimmy goes in, we have to make sure that he puts his hands in his pocket so he doesn't break anything.
Especially drunk Jimmy.
Which in Epcot. Unless for the first 5 minutes is when there's no drunk Jimmy.
Maybe when he's in Mexico, if he starts that direction.
What's funny is that I picked it up and I almost dropped it and put it back down, and I picked it back up and then dropped it.
Oh, you tested fate.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start the recording. Well, no, we're already recording, but let's start the show.